Ja, vielleicht hat sich der ein oder andere, oh, das ist laut, vielleicht hat sich der ein oder andere erkannt, das waren Impressionen aus 2015. Meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Gäste, einen wunderschönen guten Morgen, herzlich willkommen in Darmstadt, herzlich willkommen zum Microsoft Technical Summit 2016. Wir sind mittlerweile bei Ausgabe Nummer 3 dieser größten Microsoft-Konferenz für Entwickler und IT-Professionals hier in Deutschland nach 2014 und 2015, jetzt also Version 2016 und wie bei jedem Update gibt es natürlich auch diesmal einige Neuerungen, die das Gesamterlebnis hoffentlich noch ein bisschen runder machen. Die Veranstalter haben sich das Feedback der Besucher der letzten Jahre wieder ganz genau angeschaut und das Format an der einen oder anderen Stelle noch ein bisschen fein getuned. Wir sehen es auf diesem Slide, glaube ich, jetzt gleich im Hintergrund. Die Zuwachsraten von 20% für dieses Jahr bei Teilnehmern, Summit-Partnern und Sessions. Also das sieht wirklich sehr, sehr schön aus im Vergleich zum letzten Jahr. Apropos letztes Jahr, vielleicht ganz kurz eine Umfrage unter Ihnen, unter unseren Besuchern. Besucher des letzten Jahres, wer war denn letztes Jahr schon mit dabei? Darf ich vielleicht ganz kurz mal um Handzeichen bitten? Das sieht gut aus. Wer war denn schon das zweite Mal, also auch in 2014 mit dabei? Kann man da schon mal? Ja, so Respekt. Und 2013 gab es da auch ein paar, die auch, ja, sehr gut, super. Also ganz, ganz herzlichen Dank für die, ja, kann man sagen, Treue. Also wir müssen fast schon ein Abonnement ausgeben für 2017 dann. Ja, auch 2016, jetzt bleiben wir mal in diesem Jahr, betreten hier in Darmstadt auf dem Technical Summit natürlich auch wieder nationale und internationale Experten die Bühne und geben ihr Fachwissen an Sie, an unsere Gäste weiter. Die Vorträge und Workshops stehen in diesem Jahr übrigens unter dem Motto Connecting Technologies. Und die Agenda kommt mächtig daher, ist wirklich XXL, mit über 100 Vorträgen. Wir sehen hier nur eine kleine, sehr komprimierte Zusammenfassung, was die Uhrzeiten anbelangt. Mit über 100 Vorträgen zu Schwerpunkten wie Mobile, Data Center, DevOps, Enterprise Mobility, Cloud oder Office. Premiere in diesem Jahr. Die Keynotes gehen als Livestream live raus über Channel 9 in die weite Welt. Wer es also nicht nach Darmstadt geschafft hat, der kann das Ganze einfach auch von zu Hause als Übertragung anschauen. Ich darf Sie ein bisschen vorwarnen, dieses Intro dauert ein bisschen länger, denn wir kommen jetzt noch kurz zu ein paar wichtigen logistischen Informationen, die das Technical Summit-Leben hier im Kongresszentrum für Sie massiv erleichtern. Wir gucken uns ganz schnell mal ein Slide an, Raumplan. Dieses Konferenzcenter hier in Darmstadt ist nicht ganz leicht, was die Raumteilung anbelangt, zu verstehen. Aber ich denke mal, Sie haben es alle auch in Ihren Konferenzunterlagen nochmal abgebildet. Also ganz, ganz wichtiger Meeting Point sozusagen, Treffpunkt ist, und das möchte ich schnell herausheben nochmal, ist natürlich die Lounge auf Ebene 1, die Microsoft Lounge auf Ebene 1. Hier loungen viele Speaker, Experten und Microsoft-Kolleginnen und Kollegen. Also einfach mal ganz entspannt auf den Lounge-Möbeln mitchillen und mit dem einen oder anderen ins Gespräch kommen. Die Lounge, die Microsoft Lounge auf Ebene 1. Sie erkennen übrigens die Speaker, die Involvierten hier bei dieser Konferenz, bei diesem Technical Summit, die Referenten, die Damen und Herren, die vor und hinter den Kulissen auch mitarbeiten, an diesen blauen T-Shirts. Unter anderem mit Speaker-Logo, teilweise auch mit anderen Logi drauf. Also entsprechend blaues T-Shirt ist jemand, der hier mit dieser Konferenz zu tun hat. Und den kann man dann natürlich jederzeit auch ansprechen. Hashtag und Hashnacht funktioniert übrigens unser offizieller Twitter-Hashtag zur Veranstaltung MSTS 2016. Wir sehen es hier unten rechts auch eingeblendet. Also da kann man kräftig, wenn man Lust hat, mit Twitter. Ich hatte erwähnt, dass die Agenda randvoll gefüllt ist mit erstklassigen Themen und Referenten. Wer, wann, wo spricht, erfährt man am besten über die Veranstaltungs-App. Und die ist natürlich für alle Plattformen verfügbar. Ganz egal, ob Windows Phone, iOS oder Android. Hier sehen wir den Shortlink eingeblendet. Können wir vielleicht ein bisschen länger stehen lassen. Was kann die App? Ich sage es Ihnen, Sie finden dort alle wichtigen Informationen natürlich zum Technical Summit auf einen Blick. Zum Beispiel gibt es Push-Benachrichtigungen bei kurzfristigen Änderungen der Agenda. Man kann sich mit der App seine eigene individuelle Agenda zusammenstellen. Man kann Sessions teilen und bewerten. Man kann sich die Profile der Speaker nochmal im Detail anzeigen lassen. Und es gibt in diesem Jahr erstmalig ein Networking-Feature, so eine Art Technical Summit Tinder, könnte man sagen. Damit können Sie andere Teilnehmer und Experten finden und mit ihnen in Kontakt treten. Und so ein bisschen Fachflirten sozusagen. Ja. Die App ist natürlich offline-fähig. Wie es funktioniert, sehen Sie hier auf diesem Slide eingeblendet. Einfach App aufrufen und dann im Bereich Networking Kontakte knüpfen. Ein ganz wichtiger Punkt noch, wir freuen uns natürlich immer über Feedback. Ich habe es eingangs schon erwähnt, Ihre Meinung zum Technical Summit kann auch ganz entspannt natürlich über diese App dann abgegeben werden. Helfen Sie uns also mit, das Format kontinuierlich weiterzuentwickeln und geben Sie bitte hier auch kräftig Feedback. Wir kommen zu den Partnern dieses Technical Summits, ohne die diese Veranstaltung natürlich auch nicht möglich wäre. Ein besonderer Dank geht an alle Partner des Technical Summit 2016. Man findet sie auf diesem Slide hier eingeblendet. Live und gesprächsbereit findet man sie dann aber vor allem natürlich auf den Ebenen 0 und 1 hier im Konferenzzentrum. Also einfach mal vorbeischlendern bei den vielen, vielen Partnern dieses Technical Summit. Einen Partner möchte ich jetzt ganz besonders noch hervorheben hier eingangs. Und zwar ist das unser Platin-Partner Citrix. Nicht nur, weil es ab 19:30 das Feierabendbier dort gibt auf dem Stand von Citrix. Microsoft und Citrix verbindet ja mittlerweile eine 25-jährige Partnerschaft. Und das Ziel der beiden Unternehmen ist es natürlich, viele gute Projekte für gemeinsame Kunden umzusetzen. Und das vor allem in den Bereichen Anwendungs- und Desktop-Virtualisierung aus der Cloud, Netzwerklösungen oder auch im Bereich Enterprise Mobility Management. Und Citrix, das ist jetzt so ein bisschen der Werbeblock, kann eben die ganze Bandbreite der Microsoft-Plattformen, ganz egal ob Azure Office 365, Skype for Business, über Windows 10, System Center, EMS und so weiter und so weiter. Also nochmal ein ganz, ganz herzliches Dankeschön an das Team von Citrix. Schön, dass ihr hier in Darmstadt so prominent mit dabei seid. Ich finde, einen Applaus haben Sie verdient. Vielen Dank nochmal an dieser Stelle an die Kolleginnen und Kollegen von Citrix für die Unterstützung dieser Konferenz. Ja, verehrte Gäste, wir sind ins Plaudern gekommen. Das waren doch eine ganze Menge Informationen vorab. Ich wünsche Ihnen jetzt einen schönen Abend und freue mich auf morgen. Vielen Dank. Nein, so spät ist es doch noch nicht, aber zwei ganz kurze Informationen noch und dann legen wir wirklich los mit dem ersten Referenten. Ich möchte noch einen ganz kurzen Blick auf Tag 2 werfen. Ein kurzer Teaser nochmal, was Tag 2 anbelangt. Wir haben zwei hervorragende Referenten, nämlich auch morgen Vormittag. Erich Gammer oder Eric Gammer, wie man sagt, in der internationalen Welt der IT und Donovan Brown. Die beiden öffnen morgen unseren zweiten Tag. Und wir haben morgen Vormittag noch eine kleine Besonderheit, eine Preisverleihung. So richtig mit And the Winner Is und großen Gefühlen. Es geht um das Gewinnerteam einer Veranstaltungsreihe, die sich Microsoft Hack at Home nannte. Das waren 24-stündige Coding-Marathons an 12 Universitäten in Deutschland. Fast 400 Studenten haben an diesen 12 Unis für 12 Unternehmen über 60 IT-Lösungen programmiert. Und die Top 3 Teams mit den intelligentesten, mit den kreativsten, vor allem aber mit den Lösungen, die bestenfalls sofort zu implementieren waren bei den Unternehmen und gleich Mehrwert liefern, diese drei Teams sind hier in Darmstadt auf dem Summit unsere Gäste. Man erkennt sie an ihren Hack at Home T-Shirts. Und ihre Heimat ist übrigens der Microsoft Cloud Deutschland Stand. Da kann man sie treffen, ein bisschen mit den Damen und Herren plaudern. Und morgen Vormittag werden wir hier auf dieser Bühne verkünden, wer von den dreien den ersten Platz gemacht hat und neben Ruhm und Ehre, ich glaube, auch noch ein paar ganz schöne Preise mit nach Hause nimmt. Das soll es jetzt aber wirklich von meiner Seite gewesen sein. Ich wünsche uns für unsere gemeinsamen Tage hier in Darmstadt natürlich spannende, informative Vorträge, viele gute Gespräche und natürlich auch die richtige Portion Spaß und Unterhaltung. Und jetzt schnell auf Englisch weiter. With that, I'd like to continue in English because our next guest came all the way from the Microsoft headquarters in Redmond to join us here at Technical Summit. In his role as Executive Vice President of the Microsoft Cloud and Enterprise Group, he is responsible for the company's cloud infrastructure, server database, CRM, ERP management and development tools businesses. His engineering team builds Microsoft Azure, SQL Server, Microsoft Dynamics 365, Active Directory, System Center, Visual Studio and .NET. So actually, all the really hot stuff we have to offer. It's great to have him here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Scott Guthrie.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, there we go. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Microsoft Technical Summit here in Germany. It's awesome to be back here in Germany again and to have the opportunity to talk to so many people. And this morning what I want to talk about is the journey to the cloud and about the work that we're doing at Microsoft to enable you to build fantastic cloud-based solutions using Azure. You know, the cloud represents a generational shift in computing that's happening right now. And it represents major changes for everyone, Microsoft included. And every organization over the next few years is going to need a strategy for how they move from where they are today to take advantage of what the cloud has to offer. Organizations are going to look to adopt new cloud-based productivity and business application solutions that enable employees to be even more successful and to create new business processes. Organizations are going to build new applications using cloud-based infrastructure that enable them to engage better with their customers and optimize the running of their businesses. And organizations are going to want to take advantage of all the new data and intelligence out there. Things like artificial intelligence, advanced analytics, IoT, and cognitive services to unlock insights about their data and enable intelligent action from it. And they're going to need to ensure that all of these solutions are delivered in a secure way and can be managed together. And it's really the combination of all of these scenarios that enable organizations to become more agile, to lower their costs, and to really differentiate and transform their businesses. And the Microsoft Cloud is unique in delivering on all of these different scenarios. No other company has both the breadth and the depth of what the Microsoft Cloud delivers. And we deliver all of this with a global, trusted, and hybrid promise that's very different and differentiated in the industry. The Microsoft Cloud is a globally scaled cloud platform. And over the last few years, we've been hard at work expanding it to run all over the world, including here in Germany. The circles on this map indicate what we call Azure regions, which are made up of clusters of data centers where all of you can run and deploy your apps and your solutions. We now have 38 Azure regions deployed around the world. To put that in perspective, that's twice as many regions as AWS. And this enables your applications and solutions to be deployed closer to your customers and employees than ever before, and enables you to compete in even more geographic markets. Now, what makes each of these regions really impressive is the sheer size of them. And we're continuing to build out capacity and activating new data centers to expand this all over the world. And what I want to do is show a quick video that provides a behind-the-scenes look into what just one of these Azure regions looks like. So I'm going to go ahead and we make sure the sound's up, roll this video. We have Azure regions that run all over the world. And the great thing is that we now have two of them available here in Germany. And we call these two regions our Microsoft Cloud Germany. Our Microsoft Cloud Germany regions are special regions that are located in Germany and use the same technology that powers the other regions of Azure that run around the world. What makes the German regions unique, though, is that they enable what we call the German Data Trustee Model, which enables additional data sovereignty and privacy regulations specific to Germany. The Data Trustee, which is a German company staffed by German employees, is responsible for controlling all access to customer data and performing or monitoring tasks that require access to the servers that hold customer data. And this means that no American, and in fact, no Microsoft employee, has any ability to access any data stored within the German regions. And this guarantees that the data always stays in Germany and enables you to meet even the most stringent of data sovereignty requirements. Now, we opened our German regions for enterprise customers this past September, and we've had a number of great German customers that I'll talk about later start to take advantage of them. One of the things I'm also really excited to announce today is that we're now opening up the free trial experience to anyone who wants to try it over the web. And so you can sign up today to take advantage of the German regions, regardless of what type of customer you are, and can start to deploy solutions within them, and again, meet all of these unique and very stringent data privacy and data sovereignty capabilities. Now, the Microsoft Cloud is optimized for organizations and the startups and the software companies who sell to them. And it's not just about the technology. Microsoft has decades of experience supporting businesses and enterprise customers of all sizes. And this means we really understand the critical requirements of running software for businesses and governments, including things like certifications, data sovereignty, security, and privacy. In fact, the Microsoft Cloud today has more compliance certifications than any other cloud provider on the planet. Now, one of the important aspects of having a trusted cloud is security. And we obviously know security is paramount as you think about building your solutions and running them anywhere around the world. And one of the things that we focus on, obviously, a lot is how do we make sure our own software is secure and the infrastructure that you run on top of us, that is Azure, is secure. We also want to make sure that you can also monitor your applications and know that you're following the best security practices and that you're following and making sure that your solutions are secure as well as you deploy on top of our infrastructure. And one of the unique capabilities that we have built into Azure is something we call the Azure Security Center, which I'm going to demo in just a second. And this enables you as developers as well as IT professionals to be able to deploy and use the cloud with confidence and know that your solutions will follow and be secure. So what I'm going to do here is switch to a demo machine. Figure out real quick which one, four, okay. So what you're seeing up here is on my laptop is the Azure Management Console. And we'll come back to this in some of the other demos throughout the talk. And what this provides is a way that you can check and see the health of your overall solutions that are deployed in the cloud. And you can use this both as an IT professional as well as a developer to build, deploy, and monitor your solutions. And so you can see here we've got kind of a dashboard view that shows the health from a performance and uptime perspective of all of my applications. And one of the things you'll notice on the left-hand side here, if I zoom in, is something we call the Security Center that's available for everyone that's taking advantage and using Azure. And when I click it, the Security Center will open up. And what it provides is a way that you can leverage and ask Azure to look at all of the solutions deployed inside your environment on Azure and have it tell you anytime we see something that is misconfigured or not following a security best practice that might expose your applications to hackers or increase the likelihood of a security incident. And so, for example, you can see here in this particular subscription that I have, I'm going to click, and it's going to show me all of the things that it's noticing about the virtual machines that I'm running in Azure and pinpointing problems with them that I should go ahead and address and take care of. And so, for example, you can see here it's pinpointing that 60 of my 109 virtual machines don't have endpoint protection turned on, so I'm not going to be able to detect if someone is attacking it. I've patched 14 of my virtual machines, but I forgot to restart them, which means that the security patches are not effective yet. I don't have encryption at rest turned on some of the machines that I've deployed, and I'm missing system updates in other cases. And what's nice about this sort of dashboard view is it's all live data, and And it's available for you to see, regardless of whether you're an IT professional, whether you're a developer building a solution, or whether you're, say, for example, a security team within an organization that's tasked with monitoring the end-to-end infrastructure. And the security alerts here aren't just about virtual machines. We can also tell you, for example, on a network level, whether or not you've opened up your network too broadly and don't have the appropriate subnet set up to isolate the different parts of your solution. We can tell you on a database level whether you have all the best practices, and then ultimately at the application level as well, whether or not, again, you're following what we recommend is the best practices for your security solutions. And I should tell you, this is an example subscription that I have that has lots of bad things in it. My personal Azure subscription follows all the security rules. And so it's not usually this bad. But again, it's as you're during this journey to the cloud, having sort of an advisor effectively be able to help you with things like this can often be the difference between being secure and being successful and not. The other thing that the Security Center has built in, which is nice, is also then the ability for us to warn you anytime we see your environment being attacked. And so you can actually click on the security incidents where we'll tell you proactively when we see what looks like a hacker who's probing your environment and trying to find application vulnerabilities inside your code or inside your solutions. And so, for example, here, these are places where some of our services have automatically detected what looks like an attacker hitting your system. So as an example, our built-in database services, and we have both a relational database service and NoSQL database service that are provided as managed services, have built-in SQL injection attack detection. And so if we see that your application is taking a parameter from a website or from a mobile app and not encoding it before trying to run it against the database, we'll automatically fire an alert when we see someone attempting to use that to exploit as a vulnerability. If we see binaries start to run in your virtual machine that are not originally on the system, again, we can fire an alert automatically and tell you. And we can tell you when someone is trying to remote into your virtual machines, again, potentially because you have a password that isn't super secure, we can basically warn you of an issue. And so these are kind of, again, built-in capabilities that you can take advantage of within Azure to build more secure solutions and to be able to monitor your end-to-end experience. And what's nice is all the capabilities that I'm showing here in our management portal are also available as APIs. And so if you're a development team, you don't have to log in to the experience. You can build scripts or you can build applications that can query these capabilities. And if you're a security team, we've already worked with various security providers, people like Splunk or ArcSight. So we can also take this data and directly feed it into the tools that you're already using and be able to manage your end-to-end infrastructure, again, in a secure, holistic way. So we've talked about global, I've talked about trusted. Let me talk now about hybrid, which is another of the core elements that we embrace as part of the Microsoft Cloud. You know, Microsoft's really the only technology company out there that's focused on delivering a complete hybrid cloud solution. And this is important because hybrid isn't just a trend or a buzzword. It's really the reality that every organization that's looking to take advantage of the cloud is looking for. And at Microsoft, we really deeply understand this reality, more so than any other vendor. You know, we're the only company on the planet that has both deep on-premises experience as well as globally scaled public cloud data centers that span really the entire technology stack. Because hybrid doesn't just mean connectivity between your on-premise data center and a public cloud. You know, real hybrid means consistency across your entire technology estate. And hybrid consistency doesn't just mean infrastructure, because no company only has infrastructure. And that's why at Microsoft, you know, we've invested in hybrid consistency across the entire technology stack, from productivity and business applications, to your identity directory, to management and security, to data and the application platform, and ultimately to the core infrastructure. And this consistency and comprehensive approach enables real hybrid, and that's sort of what's unique about the Microsoft offering. And this in turn gives you maximum flexibility as you journey to take advantage of cloud-based solutions, and it enables you to use a common set of skills along the way. In addition to kind of enabling you to take Azure and integrate it with your existing on-premises environment, we also have an option that we call Azure Stack, which gives you the ability not just to integrate your existing environment, but also to run a consistent private cloud version of Azure inside any data center you want. And with this option, you basically get the same management console, including the one I just showed, the same management APIs, and the same set of developer services that you can use in order to actually have a version of Azure that can run, again, inside your existing facilities, next to your existing infrastructure, and do so in a way that's completely consistent with the public cloud version of Azure. And this, again, gives you maximum flexibility as you start to think about your cloud-based investments and ensures that any organization, even ones that say, my security team isn't letting me run anything in the public cloud just yet, can take advantage of Azure and all the goodness that it provides. And all of these combined capabilities, the global, the trusted, the hybrid, plus all of the great features I'm going to talk more about throughout the keynote, are leading to tremendous adoption of the Microsoft Cloud right now. You know, 90% of the largest 500 companies in the world are now running their businesses using Azure and the Microsoft Cloud. And these are a handful of just some of the customers running on the Microsoft Cloud today. Let me talk about just a few of them. You know, here in Germany, one of the iconic companies is BMW. Who here actually drives a BMW? A few people. I think there's more people that are shy and not raising their hand. It's a great car. You know, one of the things that BMW did a little over a year ago was looked at how they could take advantage of cloud-based technologies, and specifically Azure, to enrich the overall car driving experience. And so if you buy a BMW today, the dashboard experience inside the vehicle, the mobile companion application that you can download, that can, you know, see telemetry about your car, can even unlock the car directly from your phone, is all connected to Azure. And a team inside BMW kind of envisioned this experience and how they wanted to kind of dramatically improve the car ownership end-to-end experience. And within 12 months from idea to actually having it deployed, they built it, they scaled it all around the world, and it's now running in production. And what's nice is they're able to update it on average, you know, every 3 weeks with new features and new capabilities, and are able to continuously improve the experience in a really rich way. You know, another great German company, obviously, is Siemens. And Siemens is making their IoT ecosystem available on Microsoft's Azure Cloud Platform over the next several months. And specifically, their MindSphere offering enables industrial enterprises to improve the efficiency of plants by acquiring and analyzing large quantities of production data. And this enables manufacturing companies to really succeed as part of their digital transformation by taking advantage of what the public cloud has to offer and really provides the full benefits of integrating IoT, big data, and artificial intelligence all together. ThyssenKrupp is another fantastic company based here, obviously in Germany. And they've been taking advantage of Azure now for a few years. And similar to some of the other examples that I mentioned, they're using it in a deep way to integrate a lot of their devices with the cloud to be able to look at data and to be able to make them even richer and even better. And so, for example, they're elevator-based solutions that are, you know, they have millions of elevators deployed around the world. They're now connecting to the public cloud. They're able to take the telemetry off the elevators to look at things like vibration and heat sensor data, look at the maintenance logs of those elevators, and they can now accurately predict when that elevator might break down and be able to offer to their customers as a service for them to go out and fix it before it does. And that makes it great for the customer because it provides a much more reliable experience for them. And it's great for ThyssenKrupp because it actually enables them to save costs because they can more accurately predict breakdowns and they can better schedule their engineers accordingly. And these three companies I mentioned are just some of the great German companies using the Azure cloud today, as well as many others that are using it around the world. You know, others here in Germany include Lufthansa Systems AG, the Hamburg Port Authority, which is the second largest port in all of Europe. Bertelsmann, you know, which is one of the largest media companies in the world, and many more. And, you know, all of this, these great companies are really also leading to some just tremendous usage numbers of Azure that continually grow month over month. We now have more than 120,000 new customer subscriptions being created on Azure every single month. More than 1.6 million databases are now running in the Azure cloud. We're processing more than 2 trillion IoT messages every single week. More than 5 million organizations have integrated their directory servers and their identity servers with Active Directory with Azure. More than 4 million developers are now taking advantage of our Visual Studio Team services. And, you know, in addition to all of these enterprises using Azure, the great thing about Azure is it's not just for enterprises. In fact, more than 40% of our revenue comes from startups as well as software companies that are often targeting enterprises. And this really leads to an incredibly rich ecosystem of people taking advantage of Azure. And what I'm going to do for the rest of the keynote is walk through some of what you can do with Azure. And we're going to show off a whole bunch of technology demos that will hopefully get you excited to give it a try if you haven't already. So one of the things about Azure that makes it unique is it's what we call a complete cloud. You can use Azure just for infrastructure and use it for base compute, storage, and networking and virtual machines. But you can also take advantage of a set of highly engineered services that enable you to build your apps even faster. And what's nice about Azure is that it's open and flexible, and it supports the ability to target multiple devices, to use multiple operating systems, different programming languages, frameworks, data services, and tools. And this slide behind me just highlights some of the technologies that customers can leverage to build Azure solutions with today. How many people here in the audience are building using .NET? With Java? No one with Java. One person, you can raise your hand. How many people are using Node.js? Okay, great, Go. Python. Cool, well, great thing is you can use all those and more. And we have SDKs for each of those languages. And you'll see even throughout the keynote, we'll use a variety of different languages as part of building our solutions. The great thing with Azure is that you can use the best of the Windows ecosystem and the best of the Linux ecosystem together, and you can use the best tool for a particular job, and combined enables you to build truly amazing solutions. So, let's go ahead and talk about some of the specific things you can do, and actually let's show some code and let's actually build some things on stage. And to start off with, I'm going to talk about one of the services. It's one of our more popular services with Azure, and it's one of the easiest ways to get started and enables you to build great web and mobile solutions. And it's something we call the Azure App Service. And what's nice about the App Service is it enables you to build web apps, mobile apps, as well as integrate with things like APIs, as well as on-premise infrastructure and build what we call logic apps, which enables you to create long-running workflows. And it enables you to do all this using any programming language. It provides an automatic hosting environment for you so that we'll automatically patch your virtual machines. We can automatically scale up and scale down your virtual machines based on the amount of traffic you get. And enables you to set up what we call continuous integration so that you can enable a direct source control integration with any of the projects that you build, regardless of what source control system you use or what build environment or build system you want to take advantage of. And the end result is a really easy way to get started with the cloud and a pretty fun way to build applications. And what I'm going to do now is switch over and show off a demo of this in action. So, I'm going to go to machine two. Great. So, if you're going to a Microsoft conference, you probably expect all the demos to be done on Windows with Visual Studio. Good news is we have lots of those coming and here throughout the event, but I thought, you know, just to highlight some of the power of Azure to be able to use any technology, let's do this very first coding demo on a Mac. And use, in this case here, how about Node.js? It could just as easily be PHP or Go or Java as the development language we'll use, just to highlight how easy it is to take advantage of lots of different technologies. So a couple people here raised their hand and said they use Node.js. And so we're going to try to build a Node.js app here on stage. What would you like to call the app? This is the hardest part of the keynote. Red shirt, okay. hopefully I haven't created a red shirt app before. I might have, but we'll try that. So we're going to go ahead and we'll create a red shirt app. So create an empty app here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create what's called a server.js file. And I'm going to use, you'll notice the command line here I'm using, it's called code. And this is going to launch the Visual Studio Code tool that Eric Gamma is going to talk more about, I believe, in the keynote tomorrow. And this is a free tool you can download that gives you an incredibly rich development experience, not just on Windows, but it also works on Mac, and it also works on Linux development machines. And you can use any language within it. Eric's going to talk more about it tomorrow. So let's go ahead then, and I'm going to... just so you don't have to watch me type, copy and paste sort of a canonical Node.js sample into here. And so this is a very simple little app that basically is just going to listen on a port and respond back with hello world as part of it. What text, just to prove it's real, do you want me to change it to? So hello world in Germany? What, sorry? W-E-H? Okay, W-E-H-E-L-T? No, T. What did I just say? Close enough. There we go. So, prove it's real. Yeah. So, we're going to go ahead now and run this app locally just to make sure I didn't screw something up. So if I go ahead and say localhost, there we go. So this app's running locally on my local Mac here. And now let's go ahead and deploy this into the cloud. So to do that, we're going to do a few things. You know, we're going to go into the Azure Management Console, and I'm going to create a new Azure App Service that'll host this application for me. And so we're going to go ahead and create, in this case here, a new web app. So we're going to call this Scott in Germany. And I'm going to type some random stuff so it doesn't conflict. And I'm going to put this in what's called Europe Demos Resource Group, just so I can remember afterwards what this was and get rid of it. And now I'm just going to go ahead here, and I'm provisioning inside Azure a new environment that I can then run this application in. And this environment's going to create the virtual machines for me that will ultimately host the code, as well as provide a full management experience that I can leverage to scale up, as well as set settings on it. And you can see it's done. So we now have an environment that's ready. Now to deploy code into this environment, I could use a variety of different techniques. I could use FTP. If I'm using Visual Studio, we have great support. You can just right-click and it'll directly publish into it. But I can also set up what's called continuous integration so that I can integrate with, say, a source control system, maybe Git or TFS or GitHub or Bitbucket or any other different platform I want out there, so that rather than have to explicitly deploy into this environment, I can just check in my code, and then when I check in my code, it'll automatically deploy for me. So to do that, I'm going to click this deployment options on my environment. You can see here I could, again, configure it to GitHub or Bitbucket, or in this case here, I'm just going to create a local Git repository. And this is now set up. And so you'll notice now in the overview, it has a Git clone URL here that we can copy. And I can now use this part, back in my coding environment in order to configure up deployment. So we've got a Redshirt project here. We've got our server.js file that we've tested locally. Let's now connect this into the cloud. So I'm going to do git init to take advantage of Git locally on my development machine. I'm going to go ahead and add that file, the server.js, and I'm going to commit this and just say this is my initial check-in. And this has now locally committed this change using Git. And now what I want to do is just add what's called a remote add Azure. And I'm basically setting up a URL that's going to point to this app service environment that I just created. And now that I've done that, when I want to go ahead and publish it, I can just say git push Azure master. This is my master branch locally. It's going to ask me one time for the password, and it'll save it. And what this is now doing is taking that local application, and it's basically pushing the changes up into Azure. The Azure App Service is now taking that and basically then took those code changes and automatically deployed in production. And now when I click this URL, this app is now running in Azure, deployed around the world. Okay. And what's cool is if I want to make a change, it's really easy to make a change. I just go ahead, change the text locally, and I can go ahead and redeploy it in a very fast way. And you know, again, in seconds, can basically have this code updated and live for people to use. Now, it's not just about hosting code, obviously. It's also about being able to scale it to be able to integrate it as part of, say, a networked environment, and now to be able to take advantage of rich services to make things even better. So, for example, here, I could go back into my Azure App Service inside the browser here, and if I wanted to, let's say, for example, I think this app is going to be really popular. You know, rather than just deploy it effectively on a single virtual machine inside Azure, I could choose to scale this out across multiple virtual machines so that it can handle the load that I might be getting against it. And you know, in a traditional environment, adding more capacity is not super easy. You have to create a load balancer, you have to configure lots of different settings. You know, the nice thing about Azure and the Azure App Service is we make it easy. So for example, if I want to run this on, let's say, three virtual machines, all I need to do is just take the slider, set it to three, and then hit the save button. And then Azure will automatically now run this app on three separate virtual machines, all with the load balancer configured for me, scaled out for any load. Now, this is good, but often what you really want to do is not have a fixed number of virtual machines that's running your app. Instead, you want to be able to react based on how much traffic is actually hitting it at any particular point in time. And so the other nice thing that Azure has is the ability, for example, to set up what's called auto-scale rules. And so rather than have a fixed number of virtual machines, what I could do is I could say, I want to run my app between one and five virtual machines, depending on how much load it's getting. And I could then go ahead and just set a target So in this case here, I'm going to say if the CPU ever goes above 80% in my environment, add a new virtual machine, up to 5 total virtual machines. And if the CPU of those, say, 4 or 5 virtual machines, after peak, starts to drop below, say, 24%, then start turning off virtual machines until it stabilizes in that 24 to 80% range of CPU usage. And so setting something up like this is super easy. I can then just go ahead and hit save. And in about 5 or 10 seconds, what I should see is that this auto scale rule has basically been persisted. And I'm now ready to scale up and scale down inside this environment to handle that load. You can see here it's successfully saved, which means I'm now running in a load balanced environment that'll dynamically scale based on the usage that I get. And then integrating with things like my existing network or other networks that I want to have that are private, again, are pretty easy. I can click the networking tab and I can automatically tunnel back to, say, my on-premises enterprise and talk to an existing database there. Or I can set up my own virtual private network inside Azure and put my own virtual machines and other services inside that as well in order to secure it. And this is just a handful of some of the things that you can do with Azure App Service. As you can see, it's really easy to take advantage of. You can use any programming language you want with it. And with Azure App Service, we now support even the ability for the underlying virtual machines to be using either Windows or Linux to be able to maximize compatibility, again, with whatever programming language you want to use. And this was sort of obviously a simple application. You know, another application that if you are, you know, learning say Node or MongoDB is this app that's called the Mean Google Maps app. So it's a GitHub project that I just sort of randomly downloaded. And it provides kind of a fun little sample app that you can take advantage of to deploy an application. And then basically what you do is you can pinpoint a location on the map. It's probably not exactly right, but we'll click it somewhere here in Germany. And I could go ahead and say, Scott, in Germany, pick my favorite language, hit submit. And what this is basically doing is just saved that particular endpoint inside a database. In this case here, it was a MongoDB-based database. So this is just a standard MongoDB sample. I'm running it, again, using Azure App Service. So in the same way we built that sort of simple hello world, I was able to go ahead and also deploy this using an app service. And then the cool thing is I was also able to take advantage of another built-in service inside Azure that we call our DocumentDB database, which is a NoSQL document store. And what's nice about the NoSQL document store here is it has built-in support for MongoDB. And so I was able to basically just take a connection string. You can kind of see, here's an example connection string. Copy and paste that into my Node.js app. And without having to modify any code within the application, I was able to deploy it to Azure App Service. I was able to point to this DocumentDB service. And now I have a full NoSQL plus web app solution running in the cloud that I can take advantage of in a really easy way. So this is sort of just one example of some of the developer experiences that you can expect with Azure. And hopefully what you saw was you can use any technology, you can easily deploy it, and you can take advantage of some really great features to be able to move much, much faster as you build your solutions. So let's talk about some of the other great services that we have in Azure and some of the exciting investments that we're making that you'll be able to take advantage of over the next couple years. Now, adopting container-based development approaches using Docker is something that I think most development teams are either thinking about right now or at least have heard and are interested in experimenting. How many people here are using Docker today? How many people here have heard of Docker? Great. So being able to use something like, build apps using Docker really enables a more consistent deployment approach and enables you to build solutions that can be deployed really on any Docker-based system. And with the new version of .NET, we call .NET Core, you know, we now provide a fantastic runtime environment that has the ideal characteristics to be deployed within a container. It's lightweight, it loads fast, it's efficient on memory and working set, and it's cross-platform and can run literally in any container host. So for example, you can now easily deploy container-based .NET applications to Azure. And with Windows Server 2016, we now ship with built-in support for Docker-based container management and provide really a fantastic environment for deploying any type of Docker-based application, both in the cloud and on-premises, directly inside Windows Server. And with Visual Studio 2017, we now provide an integrated development experience that makes it easy to develop and test Docker-based containers on your local development system. And you can now take any .NET app, not just a .NET Core app, but a standard .NET Framework app, and now run it in a Docker-based environment within a container and get a rich local development and debugging experience with it. And you can also then take that app and easily publish and deploy these solutions to Azure. And what I'd like to do is invite Donovan Brown on stage to kind of demo this new experience and really showcase how easy it is for anyone using Visual Studio and .NET to be able to take advantage of it today. So here's Donovan.
Let's imagine that we're a team, and they were building an ASP.NET Core application inside Visual Studio targeting IIS, and everything is great. Then our manager comes running into our office, and she's really excited. She says, "We are going to Docker all the things." And we nod and smile like we understand. And then as she leaves, the fear sets in. I know nothing about Docker. I don't know the difference between an image and a container. I don't know when I'm supposed to use a Docker file or a compose file, yet we are responsible for turning this into a Docker application. Can we still use Visual Studio? Can we still program in .NET? Do we all have to start over again? This is enough to make me go to LinkedIn and start looking for another job. But if you are listening to Scott, you know that Visual Studio, it's actually here to help us. So I'm going to do what all good Visual Studio users do. I'm going to start right-clicking on everything. And that's when I'm going to find it. Right here under Add, there is Docker support. So by simply clicking on this, Visual Studio is going to spring into action, and it's going to start adding all the files that I need to turn this application into a Docker application. It's going to allow me to use all the power of Visual Studio, yet stay true to Docker. So one of the files that it actually generates for you is called a Docker file. A Docker file defines what the image needs to look like so that it can run my application for me in the cloud. Now, all I should have to do is what I normally do, which is go ahead and click on Docker. Now, Visual Studio understands that this is now a containerized application, that I need to build an image for you. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that image and I'm going to run it inside of a container. And then moments later, it's just start my application for me. I did not change a single line of my code. I didn't have to learn anything new. I did the exact same gestures, the same motions that I've always done in the decades of using Visual Studio. Now all of a sudden, I'm starting to feel a little better. And all that fear starts to go away because Visual Studio is here to protect me. And because this is Visual Studio, there's things that I've become, well, accustomed to using. For example, if I were to return back to my application and I were to make a change to this application, I would expect, because this is a web app, that I would be able to see these changes instantly. But you got to remember, this isn't just a .NET application. This is actually an image running inside of a container. But when I hit F5, you'll be able to see that my changes take instant effect. Again, allowing me to do everything that I've always done, but now doing it inside of a container. What did I learn new? Nothing. Right? This is awesome. Now, One of my favorite features of Docker is the fact that I've now seen this run locally on my machine. I know that this will run perfectly in any Docker host on the premise or in the cloud. Gone are the days where my manager comes running into my office and she's frantic because she's found a new bug. And no matter how hard I try, it works perfectly on my machine. She says, fine, Donovan, then we're going to ship your machine because that's the only place where it works. I'm like, no. I like my machine, so I'm not going to let her ship it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to teach her that I can take this image off of my machine and host it safely in Azure. So right now, I'm starting to feel confident again. I'm starting to get my swagger back. So I'm going to trust my instincts, and I'm going to right-click again. And there it is. Publish. Publish is exactly what I would have done if this was not a containerized application. I go to create a new profile. As Scott just told you, we now support Linux. When I click on OK, Visual Studio is going to say, hey, let me go off and find all the information that I need so that I can actually take this for you and publish it for you safely into the cloud. It understands it needs something called a registry, which I'll talk about in just a second. When I click on Create, it now creates the profile for me, and there is my Publish button, just as if this were not a container. I click on Publish. Visual Studio goes back and says, ah, I know what I need to do. I need to build this image for Donovan. And then I need to put it inside of a registry. A registry, well, it's kind of a repository where our team can store all of the images that we need to distribute all across the world. And once it's safely in the image, in the registry, we can actually have App Service go and pull that image down and run it for me in the cloud. So what I want you to understand just happened here, Visual Studio, it's like it gave us a superpower that allows us to take what we already know and we already love about Visual Studio and do this. Move our code effortlessly from our fingertips into the cloud. Thank you so much, guys.
So, the great thing about what Donovan just showed is, how easy it is using the new version of Visual Studio to take any project that you already have and deploy it using container-based approaches that work with any container host. But as you saw there, he made it incredibly easy to effectively just right-click and deploy it into Azure using that same app service environment that I showed you on a Mac. Now, this new app container support we now have inside Azure App Service makes it possible for you to package up and deploy any web or mobile backend in a container. And again, effortlessly deploy and scale it using Azure App Service. Whether it's running using .NET, with Node.js, with Go, with Java, with Python, with Ruby, with PHP, or any other technology that comes out there. And you can use it with any development tool in any development language. And this new Azure App Service support, we really think with containers, is really going to make it easy for any developer, including those that have never used Docker or containers before, to start taking advantage of them to easily deploy solutions. Now, where containers become even more powerful is when you start to take advantage of them across multiple parts of your solution and leverage a microservice-based approach to development. For example, you might have your web app, talk to multiple back-end microservices that you want to be able to deploy and run using containers. Some of these microservices might even be written in multiple different programming languages. And with the updates that we've now just done, both to Azure as well as to Visual Studio, we now make it easy to build and deploy all of these different types of solutions. And to do so with a full DevOps lifecycle that enables you to integrate all of this work across any size development team. And specifically, with our Azure Container Service, we now provide a managed platform service that enables you to easily deploy and orchestrate applications built with multiple microservices using containers. The Azure Container Service is, in fact, the only container service provided by any of the major cloud providers that supports all of the different popular container orchestration frameworks, including Apache Mesos, Docker Swarm, and Kubernetes. And the Azure Container Service supports both Linux as well as Windows Server-based containers. And it's available in general availability release today with public cloud Azure. We're also going to be making it available for use on premises with our Azure Stack offering next year. We've also updated our Visual Studio Team Services offering to now provide a complete DevOps experience and solution for container-based development. And we now deliver integrated continuous integration support with new Docker build tasks. And we're also delivering automated multi-container deployment support and really rich release management. And what I'd like to do is invite Donovan back on stage to walk us through how to take advantage of all this and go from just right-clicking and deploying Docker-based applications to really setting up a team environment with continuous integration and a great DevOps lifecycle. So here's Donovan again.
So our manager was so excited about how well we did on the marketing application that she decided she wants to change it. She wants to add email support, profile support, and allow them to send feedback as they visit our site. Because we're using Docker, we can actually use a microservices architecture. We can actually have each one of those be their own container. So what I've done, and you can look here on my screen, is that I've actually have a more complicated version of the original application. Over here on the right-hand side, you can see that I have several different applications now. Each of those is going to be its own project running inside of its own container. Now, when you build a multi-container solution, you're going to be met with multi-container challenges. First of which is, how do I even define what my application is made up of? What images that I need? Now, we generate this stuff for you, but we don't hide it from you. It's yours to do whatever you need to. For example, we generated a compose file. A compose file is a configuration file that defines all the images that make up my solution. Several of these are the ones that you see behind me, but if I scroll down to the bottom, you'll notice that I can actually use images managed and developed by other teams that might be written in completely different languages. But using this compose file, I can do everything that I need to. So just like I did before, I'm going to go ahead and click on debug. What Visual Studio is now going to realize is that, hey, this has a compose file in it, and I need to spin up all of these images for Donovan so that he can actually debug the entire solution. That brings us to our next challenge. Because I have multiple containers, how do I effectively debug from one container to the other? It should be one solution. So now that it's running, I want to show you exactly how we can do that using Visual Studio. If I scroll down to the bottom, you can see the new functionality that we added based on the input of our manager. I'm going to go ahead and enter in my email, click on submit, and then I am immediately taken back inside Visual Studio, and I've hit my first breakpoint. If you look over here on the right-hand side, it clearly shows me in my marketing application. The fun begins when I click on continue. I'm going to call one of my microservices, and when I come back, you'll notice that I am now down inside of my profile API. Visual Studio understands that I control the source for all of these images and that I can effortlessly debug from one image to the other. Now, this is Visual Studio, so I can do things that I know and love about Visual Studio. One of my favorite features is one called Data Tips that allows me to pin directly into my source code information that I might want to be able to go back and review. I can even use this information to go back in and add cool messages. Now, this is great, and we've solved two of the problems. The third problem is, how do I get all of these images into the cloud? We can't expect an individual to stop what they're doing every time we need a new release, build the latest version of the code, and then right-click on each one of them and publish them individually. What we need is a complete CI/CD pipeline, so that every time a developer checks in any code, it is effortlessly taken into the cloud. So what I'm going to do right now, and I hope some of you are waiting for me to do, is I'm gonna rub a little DevOps on this and I'm gonna make it better. The way that we do that is you don't fight your instincts. You've already guessed what you do. You simply right-click. And there it is, configure continuous delivery. Clicking on this box allows Visual Studio to communicate with Visual Studio Team Services. Team Services is everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software for any language targeting any platform. That is it. Doesn't matter if you're Java, Node.js, Mongo, whatever you want to develop, guys, Any language you yell out, I'm going to say, yes, I can do that language. Any platform you want to deploy to, yes, I can deploy to that platform, and I'm going to use it using Team Services. What this builds for me is an entire CI/CD pipeline. This is Team Services. This is what I get when I configure continuous delivery. You'll notice all of the Docker tasks there because we understand Docker intimately. We know it so well that that first task actually spins up another image to do your build in that is hosted inside of Azure Container Service for you. We are able to do everything that you need, and this is yours. You own this. So that means that you can go and change this if you need to. We have partners of ours like Twistlock and Aqua that allow you to actually add tasks to your build that will analyze the images that you create, make sure that those images have no vulnerabilities in them, no security holes in them, and if they find any, they will fail your build for you so that you do not pollute your registry with bad images. Once your build is done, you will then move over into release management. Release management is like the twin brother of our build system, but it adds environments and approvals for you so that you can effortlessly take those images that we've stored in a registry for you and to deploy them to any host you want in the world. Here, we're using ACS. This is an entire cluster hosted for you in Azure, and we allow you to effortlessly deploy directly into that environment. What I love about using Visual Studio when it comes to deploying all of my Docker workloads is that there's this thread that's built between the fingertips of my developers all the way into production. We have the code, we have the build, we have the release, and if I switch over into Azure, you can see my container service here. My container service is where all of my code ends up, and if I go back over to all the releases, I can see all the times that I've released from Team Services into Azure. But it doesn't stop here. It is a full traceability for us. So what I'm able to do is simply click on these ellipses, and I can get back to the source, the build, and even the release that brought me to this environment. Simply clicking on this takes me back to Team Services, where I will be able to review all of the different releases that actually built this particular project for me. What we're able to do here with Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services and Visual Studio is allow everyone to be able to develop, debug, and deploy all of your Docker workloads. Thank you so much, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Donovan tomorrow is going to go into a lot more depth during his keynote around all the DevOps investments that we're making and how, again, regardless of what language you use, how you can leverage our Visual Studio Team Services and Azure to have a fantastic DevOps-based experience that really enables you to take application development to the next level. So we've shown a lot of demos this morning around doing code-based development and applications. Using Azure App Service, using containers in a variety of languages. I want to switch gears now and talk about some of the other rich platform services that Azure provides that you can also leverage now from that code to make your applications even richer. And you can see on this slide here, we've got lots of different platform services you can leverage. We've got ones for doing media streaming and encoding. We've got ones for doing IoT management. You heard me talk about folks like BMW and Siemens and ThyssenKrupp that we're taking advantage of. We've got rich database services that you can store both relational and NoSQL data and spin up Hadoop clusters and do a whole bunch of variety of things. What I'm going to talk about now is a new category that I think is a pretty cool category and kind of a fun category to talk about, which is our cognitive services support that we now have built into Azure. And, you know, one of the things that I think is really exciting from a development perspective and from a user experience perspective is the ability that's now possible to take software and combine it with data to create even more intelligent applications. And with Azure, we provide you both the core platform services that you can use to take any data to train any machine learning or artificial intelligence model to make your solutions richer. We also then provide a set of higher level services that we call our Azure Cognitive Services that enable anyone, even someone who isn't a data scientist, who doesn't know how to train a model, to be able to simply take advantage of APIs that you can integrate inside your applications to still make your solutions much, much richer. And these cognitive services include APIs for doing things like language translation, speech detection, vision analysis on top of images or a webcam or video, rich search and more. And what I do is just show off a few quick demos of how you can leverage these today, again, to build even richer solutions within Azure. So let me go ahead here and quickly log in. So we're back here now inside our Azure Management Portal. And one of the things you can do within Azure is search for our cognitive services support and easily go ahead and add any of them inside your environment, inside your application. And so, for example, when you kind of just go ahead and use the new experience here inside Azure, this will actually list all the different types of cognitive services that we support. And they kind of map to those APIs that I mentioned earlier that we have. So, for example, I've got emotion detection APIs, I got a face recognition API, I've got language translation and more. And I can simply create and add one of these, get back a URL, and call it using either a REST-based API, or we also have, you know, .NET, Node, and other SDKs available, so I can just call these APIs directly within my language of choice. And what's cool is I can build in some pretty amazing applications with them. So let's go ahead and just actually show off a few of these. And so I'm going to start by launching a cool sample app that you can download, and there's sort of GitHub code that you can download here so you can actually see exactly how this application was built. And I'm just going to show off a few demos that illustrate some of the cool things that these APIs enable. And the one I'm going to show here, and you can see there's lots of fun ones here, is something called real-time crowd insights. And so what this is going to do is it's taking advantage of our facial recognition APIs, as well as our emotion APIs. And it's just basically using my webcam here. And you'll notice as I get in the picture now, it can basically identify roughly how old I am. I'm older right now today because I'm jet lagged because it's 1 a.m. my time, but there we go. It's more accurate now when I smile. And you can see even whether I'm happy or not. And, you know, it's basically doing real-time analysis on top of this image. And it works with static images as well. And, you know, this is a sort of a pretty rich way of being able to identify where is someone's face, who are they, what's their gender, how old, et cetera. And the beauty is it's just an API call. So it doesn't require that you understand how to train models. It doesn't really require you to understand data analytics in a deep way. You can start taking advantage of this in a really rich. Now, wouldn't it be even cooler if, rather than just sort of say, this is a person, generic male, who's 42, if it could actually identify who I am and actually know precisely who I am as part of that experience. And so one of the other things that's kind of powerful about these APIs is not just the ability to use our generic APIs, but for you to also give us, upload some pictures and effectively train a model so that we can actually, with these APIs, provide even deeper insight as part of it. Let me show you what I mean. So for example here, I can create a bunch of people. So I'm just going to say Scott Guthrie. Yeah, that's me. Go inside here, and then it's going to now, it's just searched the web inside this application, so this is just the sample app. And what I can do is I can basically find some pictures of me. That's me with a lot more hair. I'm just going to upload a couple of these pictures, and this is basically downloading these pictures, again, just that found off of a Bing search. I can go back here. I'm then going to rebuild this model. And this is now told the facial recognition API, here's a person, his name is Scott, create a model based on these four or five images. And now what you'll see is when we go ahead and rerun that application, instead of just seeing it's a male, it just recognized me. It now knows it's me as part of that picture model that was uploaded. And so it can now pick out of any video or any image, hey, this is that person, and be able to precisely pinpoint it, again, without me having to be a trained data scientist, without me having to create my own deep learning model. Instead, just call a couple APIs, and my app just got a whole bunch richer. And there's a whole bunch of really cool services that you can take advantage of, again, through these APIs, and a lot of fun demos to try out if you want to learn more as part of it. And you know, I think you'll continue to see us provide both the core platform services, things like GPUs and FPGA processors, and ways that you can work with data in a very highly skilled way as a data scientist, but then also these higher level cognitive APIs, which makes it incredibly easy for anyone to add more intelligence to their application and be able to take advantage of things in a rich way. So that's a little bit about cognitive services. Let's go back here and talk about a few more things. So these, you know, we've just touched on a few handful of services that we provide in Azure. I think we've shown three services: App Service, Azure Container Service, and our cognitive services. Those are three services out of about 92 that we provide. And so there's a lot more that you can leverage. But hopefully it's whet your appetite if you're a developer that this is a pretty fun place to build applications, and you can build some really powerful things that can run all over the world. How many people here are IT professionals that are responsible for managing the infrastructure and monitoring the applications that development teams build? Great, so a number of people here. Let's switch gears now and talk about Azure from that perspective. So you've seen, wow, there's a whole bunch of services that developers can use. What can you use, and how can you take advantage of Azure to both monitor the infrastructure, to ensure that these applications that have been built are going to run reliably, and you know, how can you basically provide the richest possible experience and integrate with all the mission-critical processes that you need to make sure that the apps and the environments stay up? So let's go back and show off one last demo today. And let me click the right machine so you can see it. There we go. So I'm going to go back into the Azure Management Console here. And what I do is spend just a little bit of time kind of showing off some of the rich monitoring integration capability that is built in directly into the service. And the way you can take advantage of this now within Azure that's pretty easy is, you know, I showed you earlier using the Security Center. We also then have a capability we call the Monitor Center that you can use as well. And so what I'm going to do here is just click that, and it's going to open up kind of a unified monitoring experience that shows me basically everything that's happening within a particular Azure subscription that I have rights to. And this monitoring experience pulls together lots of different things. You'll notice one of the things that's kind of powerful is a built-in activity log. And so I can actually now search and look at everything that's happened within my environment and everything that any person, including any developer or anyone else on my IT team, has done in the environment over any period of time. So I can see, for example, when someone deployed code or when someone created a new virtual machine or when someone changed the network setting. This is now all audited, and I can basically quickly search. I can filter based on different operations as well as different resources to be able to precisely find what changed in any environment at any point in time. We also now have built-in metric support. And what this does is it makes it really easy for you to basically pick any environment. So let's, for example, pick a couple of virtual machines and web apps. And let me see if I can find a virtual machine that's doing something interesting. And I can actually go ahead now and if I wanted to, everyone is asleep in Redmond apparently. There we go, something that's a little bit more, trying to find a cool graph of something going up and down. But there we go. So I can basically go ahead on any resource now in a unified way, basically see the health and what sort of the aggregate usage of that resource and you know, pinpoint it within that. And then one thing that's kind of powerful is we have support inside Azure to do what's called pinning to a dashboard. And so I could go ahead and take this view, pin it to my dashboard. And now if I go back to my dashboard, you'll notice we have all these, by default in the background, I have all these different metrics that are available. And if I scroll over here, what you'll see is that was that metric that we just created. I've now pinned directly to my dashboard so I can actually see a great heads-up view of what's going on as part of my environment, be able to easily manage it and handle it. And what's power little tip that you can take advantage of is you can actually have multiple different views inside Azure. So this might be an IT Pro view. If I wanted to have a different view, I can easily filter and switch into a different set of different tabs and environments that people have created for me. Again, be able to kind of switch between them depending on what role or what specific task that I'm actually doing and want to take advantage of. So that's a simple way to do kind of metrics monitoring, and I kind of showed off with the activity log how you can also go ahead and see what's changing in the environment. But what happens when something does go wrong? You see in the metric that for some reason the performance is dropped, or for some reason you're throwing more errors, and you see that nothing changed, or you can see Joe made a change 10 hours ago, but I'm not sure if this change was the one that actually caused the issue. How do you kind of debug into this from an IT perspective and be able to understand what's exactly happening in the system? So one of the other kind of cool features we now have built in is something we call log search. So we make it possible for you to take the logs from any of your resources inside Azure and now basically integrate and stream them into a log search environment. And this log search environment is really powerful because it basically enables you to scan literally tens of millions of records inside of log entries that have been created inside your application, your environment, to be able to pinpoint what's going on in real time. So for example, I'm here in the log search UI. I'm just going to start with a simple query, which is star. And you'll see we have 6 million log entries that I'm actually just searched across that have been collected from all the different applications and virtual machines running inside Azure. And what's cool about this log search is it can actually not only support the virtual machines and the applications running in Azure, I can even set it up to take all of my log telemetry from my on-premise environments and integrate it as part of that as well. So whether you're running VMware, whether you're running Hyper-V, whether you're running System Center on-premises, you can seamlessly integrate it as part of this environment as well, and now be able to search across things in a holistic way. So let's go ahead and take a look at a couple of different types of resources. So for example, here, I could even go ahead and say, let's search across these 6 million records and basically show me the types of different records that I actually have as part of those log entries. And this is all done in real time. And you can see I've got performance, I've got security events, I've got IIS firewalls, rules, even somewhere inside here, I think I have VMware host events all integrated. And if I want to write a more advanced query, let me just show you this one here. This one here is going to basically search across those, and it's saying, look across all my databases with subscriptions that start with advisor, and then I have a star wildcard, and then basically just compute the max average on the average CPU of the database with an interval of 20 minutes during that time period. And so basically, if I just paste this in, hit enter, this is searching again across 6 million records. It's done the analysis. It's come back with 648 unique database points with 20-minute intervals. And I can now go ahead, and if I wanted to, even say, look, there's been a dip. Let's zoom in so I can actually see exactly what's happening during that interval. And I can see it not just in a table view. I can also go ahead and list the individual databases and be able to pinpoint, looks like Contoso Test DB was the one that's having that issue. And again, be able to immediately pinpoint what's going on, be able to alert my development team or my other operations peers, and be able to take corrective action based on it. And this is sort of how easy it is to integrate this type of monitoring experience that's built in directly inside Azure. And again, allows you to not only look at your Azure resources, but even collect the data from your on-prem systems and be able to now manage it all holistically. So we've talked a lot about Azure. I've talked a lot about what you can do with it. You know, we've shown off from a development experience, shown off a little bit from an IT professional experience, from a data perspective, how you can leverage the cloud and how you can leverage specifically Azure to build amazing solutions. And I hope throughout the rest of the event, there's lots of great breakout sessions, you'll have a chance to learn more and be able to try it out for yourself. I'm confident if you do, you'll find it's a pretty powerful experience and a pretty fun experience to actually work in that can really make you more successful. In terms of learning more about Azure here in Germany specifically, one of the things that's also been great is just the amount of MVPs and community leaders that have put together some fantastic different Azure meetup events. So these are some examples of the meetups that are available now in different cities. You can get a full listing at the URL at the very bottom there. And it's a great way you can learn from other people that are using Azure, get their experiences, get their best practices, and get even better. And I want to make a special call out to a number of great people, many of whom I think are here in the audience, who helped organize all this and make it possible. And as I mentioned earlier, the Microsoft Cloud Germany is now available for all of you to sign up and use. So you can use Azure anywhere around the world, and then specifically the two regions we have here in Germany that have that unique data trustee relationship and that guarantee that no matter what, the data will never, ever leave Germany is now available for you to go ahead and start building solutions with it. And we have a great set of prizes that are available. So you can go ahead and, for example, register to get some money. You can go ahead, if you just register your app that you've deployed inside the Microsoft Cloud Germany, you also get a shirt from the booth here. I'm told it's not a red shirt, but it's still a great shirt. You know, we're looking forward to seeing what you build with it. And again, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone here for attending the event. We're really looking forward to seeing what you build with Azure, and really looking forward to your feedback. So thanks again, and I hope you have a great conference.
Thank you so much, Scott, for this amazing demo. Gosh, this table is far away, but just let's move over. Okay. We didn't plan for a Q&A, actually, but just one question maybe.
Sure.
Until they have been remodeling the table over there. Thank you so much for mentioning, actually, the Azure Meetups. What a great platform. Thanks for mentioning that and bringing up the team here on this slide. I was just talking to a colleague of mine, and he's a Windows Server product manager. And he has kids, and he's planning to rent a bigger house. So his question was, can you please ask Scott, what will be the fate of Windows Server in an increasingly cloud-oriented world? So what will be the future of Windows Server, Scott?
Well, you know, I think Windows Server is a great future. I think one of the things that we're really looking at is, you know, how do you use Windows Server in even more ways going forward? And, you know, the power of the hybrid model that we're enabling with Azure Stack and with Windows Server is to really enable Windows Server to be the edge of the Microsoft Cloud and to be able to take advantage of a lot of the things I just showed here running in our data centers within your own data center. And then likewise, how do we make Azure the edge of your cloud running with Windows Server? And that ability to kind of use Windows Server to be able to take advantage of the hybrid capabilities that are built into it, as well as all the other great capabilities that are available in particular as part of our new Windows Server 2016 experience, I think really provides something very unique. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, no other company out there has both an on-premises offering like we do with Windows Server and with Azure Stack when you want to manage multiple Windows Servers together, as well as a public cloud. And you're going to continue to see us use that as a great differentiator to really enable you to build fantastic solutions that can run anywhere, that can use a consistent development model, that can use a consistent IT professional model and management model. And you know, I think you'll see a fantastic roadmap ahead that's going to enable you to do even more and more with that.
Thank you so much, Scott. We're going to leave it with that because you have a lot of meetings
great
to catch today.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again. Scott Guthrie.
Thank you.
And thanks also to Donovan Brown, his sidekick. Kann man das sagen? Von Donovan Brown sehen wir morgen natürlich noch eine ganze Menge